As we begin this morning, may I remind us that we are still in the book of 1 Corinthians. We will be finishing chapter 10 today, going on to chapter 11 next week. But as we're going through this book, one of the things that just seems to be most apparent to me is how closely the lifestyle of the people of the United States of America in the year 2019, how it's so very similar to the church and the people back in Corinth. The struggles that we have as a church, the struggles as to what can we do, what can't we do, what don't we do, and how we let that pervade our thinking and make that be everything. As I stated either last week or the week before, the question should not be, is this something I can do? But rather, is it something that is profitable? Is it something that edifies? But we don't seem to think. We don't take the time to think. We are so quick to act in everything. I can kind of even picture the people of the church in Corinth struggling with these things, wondering what to do and what not to do. Can I do it? Does it edify? Is it profitable? All of this comes down to what our freedom is. What freedoms do I have as a Christian? If I were to ask a multitude of people who claim to be Christians what it means to be free in Christ, I would probably get a plethora of different answers. I imagine even in our small congregation, if I were to ask you what it means to be free in Christ, what does it mean? Even from a secular standpoint, you go and ask the average American what it means to be free, what are they going to say? Most will say freedom is to do as I please. Am I kind of in agreement with that? Would you think most people would say that today? You're an American. You are free. What does that freedom mean? That freedom means I can do as I please with nobody telling me what to do. Is that true? We may want to think that way, but yet there's things as speed limits, theft laws, you name it. Because truly, freedom without responsibility is chaos. So what do we mean when the Bible says that we are free in Christ? And we'll come back to that. Remind me at the end that I need to answer that question. Thank you. We've been talking about all this stuff. And Paul today is going to answer what it means. What can we do? What is profitable? What edifies? And Paul's going to answer it in one simple statement, beginning in verse 31, where he says, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. I've known this verse since I was yay big. If I had to guess, this was probably one of the verses in my Awana book when I was in third, fourth, fifth grade that I had to learn. Whatever you do, whether you eat or drink or whatever, do all to the glory of God. And this is one of those verses that we all know. Anybody in this room today, is this the first time you've ever heard that verse? I didn't think so. But it's also one of those verses that are just so easy to write off because it's so commonplace, because it is so well known. But you see, within the framework of this verse is the answer to all of our questions on how to live. But we want our freedom in the way that Americans want their freedom. We want to be the masters of our own destiny. We want all the glory. We don't want to give it to God. This, in a small way, because I have so far to go, but in a small way, this has impacted my life. This week, while I've been studying this, is there any exclusions within the framework of this verse? Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do most things to the glory of God. Bob shaking his head. Do all things. What does all mean? Could this answer some of our questions then as to whether I should or should not be doing things? Can I television. Such an awesome invention that we have. It's entertainment. For an average of $120 a month, you don't even have to go anywhere anymore. You can watch stuff on TV and have all of your entertainment. All things are lawful. Is it wrong to watch television? Is there a specific, does God say, thou shalt not watch television? But not all things are profitable. All things are lawful. But not all things edify. Whether you eat, or you drink, or you watch television, or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Do you think if we put things into that context, we wouldn't necessarily watch some of the things that we do? Whether then you eat or drink, I'm trying to think of, I don't even know bad places to go anymore. whatever you do, questionable places, I don't know. Do all for the glory of God. I have to work. And this is how I used to take this verse. Okay? I used to take this verse as, all right, I'm mandated to work. I have to provide a living for my family. I have to feed them. I have to clothe them. I have to give them shelter. Because of the fall. It's not even my fault that I have to do this. I have to do it. And in that, I can't have a bad attitude. because I have to work under the glory of God. Is it wrong to look at things that way? Is that a bad way to look at things? No, because we should work unto God's glory. But it's so much more than that. Because this extends not only to work, not only to family, but this also invades our free time, our personal time. Well, Pastor Dan, what about this Christian freedom that we talked about at the beginning? Ain't I free? All things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things edify. Do all to the glory of God. We were talking this morning of God's holiness. How God demands us to recognize His holiness. And how for probably the majority of people who claim Jesus Christ, the aspect of God always takes second place. I have to admit, there's many times in my life that God takes second place. When I put myself first and Him second. When things don't go the way I think they should go. I can get snippy. And when everything is said and done, I look back and I shake my head and I say, if only I would remember to give glory to God in everything. Whether you eat or drink or get in an accident. Whether you eat or drink or fall off a ladder. Whether you eat or drink or get bit by a dog, do all for the glory of God. Do we do that? Do we look at life through the lens of God's glory? Everybody in this room today, everybody listening to my voice via the internet, you have all been created because God wanted you created. Whether you're a believer or an unbeliever. As an unbeliever, you have no excuse. As a believer, you have even less. Do all for the glory of God. Paul's trying to answer this question. The Corinthians, they're confused. Paul, what can we do? What can't we do? Is it legalism? Is it license? Paul, what is it? Well, can you do it for the glory of God? Paul says, give no offense, either to Jews or to Greeks, or to the church of God. Give no offense. Can I do fill in the blank? All things are lawful. Am I going to hurt or offend this person or that person? In what we do, do we glorify God? Remember back, how long has it been now? 20 years? Remember the little WWJD bracelets that everybody had? What would Jesus do? The whole concept on that was kind of along this line. We don't want to do anything that Jesus wouldn't have done. Problem is, most of us have different concepts, different thoughts of what Jesus would do and Jesus wouldn't do. So it's not perfect. But if I can do something to not offend this person, am I bringing glory to God? What's the two greatest commandments? Love God, love others. So if I love God, am I bringing glory to Him? Yes. If I love others, am I bringing glory to Him? Yes. Because why? Because I'm obeying His commands. We're going to finish up today just talking for the last time about the two different sides, legalism and license. And we always seem to pick on the license side. We tend to pick on those people that say, oh, it's okay for me to do anything, and I'm going to do anything because I'm free in Christ. Okay, we pick on them because of how they can make a brother stumble. What about coming at things from a legalistic side? We never really think about or talk about how that too can cause someone to stumble. If we lay down all these man-made ideas and man-made rules, is that going to hinder growth? Are rules important? They are. Especially when you're young. My job as a parent, from the time my child was an infant to the time they are 18, is to grow them in the knowledge of what it is to live on their own. Do we have rules when they're young? Do we? Bob's looking, yeah, stupid. Yes, we do. When they're young, do not go here. Do not go by that electrical outlet. Do not play with that plug. As they get older, stay in the yard. Don't go near the street. Is it illegal to go near the street? Is a cop going to come along and arrest them for 6 years old going into the street? But if they don't know enough not to, they could get hurt. Or they could get killed. As they get older, we let them drive. We say, okay, you can go here, but not here. All in preparation for the time when they're an adult. And I'm unable to tell them what to do anymore. Doesn't mean I don't try. Sometimes they listen. Most oftentimes, not. But if we kept our kids in that state, if we kept them to the state that you can only do this, you can never make up your own mind, you can never... I've seen kids like that as adults. So yes, to be overly legalistic can be dangerous. And I've said before, I tend to side to the right side of center when it comes to legalism. I see that. I understand that. It's still not easy to fight. Let me read something I came across this week. This goes on the other side. This goes on the license side. And it sounds good. To a believer, it sounds awesome. Let me see if I can find it here. Stand by. So much to do. The legacy of Charles Finney, who taught salvation by moral fortitude, the unofficial religion of America, it is the religion of Ben Franklin and Ralph Waldo Emerson and the McGuffey readers, and it is deadly. So now when we think of Christianity, we sigh and we say, so much to do, so much to keep track of, so much. Do I shop there or not? If I shop there, I might be accidentally putting money in the wrong pocket. Is it okay to watch this show? Is it okay to listen to this kind of music? Is there a list somewhere of what music is okay and what music might lead me astray? If I am a woman, is it okay for me to get a job? Can I speak to a man and keep myself pure? Is it okay to go to dinner with friends? If I'm a man, can I take a woman to the hospital? Is it okay to speak to her? Can I have a conversation with her and still be pure? How should we raise our kids? Should we homeschool? Private school? Charter? Who should I ask? Should I read this blog or that blog? Can I ask a celebrity preacher to tell me what to do, to wear, where to shop, what to read, what to listen to? How much am I supposed to desire God? Do I desire Him enough? What if I die and miss the mark? What if I'm caught in an R-rated movie when Jesus comes again? I'm depressed trying to figure it all out. Should I see a therapist? Should I take a pill? Should I just talk to my pastor and have him pray for me? What if I do it wrong? What if I make the wrong choices and I'm not masculine enough? What if I'm not feminine enough? What if I die wearing the wrong colored shirt or writing a poem? Stop. This is his answer to all that. Stop. Rest. This is why God gave us a Sabbath, that we might rest in Him and know that He is the Lord God and He alone sanctifies His people. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. And rest. Take tomorrow. Get to a church that preaches Christ. Leave your burden at the foot of the cross. Sing praises to our Redeemer and leave Finney's legacy in the grave where it belongs. It is the old man. Crucify it with Christ and live. Learn to walk in newness and live. That sounds so good. And I'm not trying to judge this man's motives who wrote this. But there seems to be something missing in that. It seems to be the answers to all his questions is don't worry about it. I mean, isn't that much what Paul said as we studied through verses 23 to 30? If you go, eat everything that is sold in the market without asking questions for conscience sake. Is it okay? Is it lawful? Yes. Does it edify? That would be my question to this man. What if I am caught in an R-rated movie when Jesus comes again? Is it lawful? Depending on what the content is, probably. Is it profitable? I mean, I have to rethink much of my downtime. Because most of my downtime is wasted. It's not evil. It's not bad. But it's wasted. How much more time during the day would you have for your service of the King if we did all things unto the glory of God? What if I make the wrong choices, the man says. Make choices that glorify God. How much am I supposed to desire God? We desire God to the point that we glorify Him. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. We said last week, if you're a true child of God, there is nothing that you're going to do that you will lose your salvation from. But at the same time, if you're a true child of God and you are putting in place this principle of doing all things to glorify God, what are you going to do that would make you question losing your salvation? Jesus Christ came to give us freedom. But the freedom He gave us was the freedom not to sin. Did you catch that? He came to give us freedom, but that was the freedom not to sin. Because prior to salvation, what is our life? It's all sin. We can do nothing that pleases God. Then, bam, God saves us. He awakens us unto newness of life. He opens our eyes to the things of Him. And you know what? Sin becomes a little less necessary, a little less desirable. And as we continue to live our life, it becomes more undesirable. And if we can put this filter in place to do all things unto God's glory, how much more powerful will we be for Him? Paul says, just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, so that they may be saved. Paul says, I don't go out looking for things that please me. my goal is to do things to save others. If our heart's intent is to do all things under the glory of God, evangelism will just be a natural step. Then Paul makes one of the most one of the hardest statements, I think, in all of Scripture. Because Paul tells the church of Corinth, he says, hey, be imitators of me. Be imitators of me. Qualifies it though, just as I also am of Christ. It's always hard because I think of myself making this statement. If I were to say, church in Dover, imitate me as I imitate Christ. There's areas in my life that I would be comfortable with saying that. But maybe not all the time. There's other areas of my life like walking into an 81 degree church this morning. I wasn't happy. It showed. Poor Tom got the brunt of it. I don't want you imitating that from me. Had I walked in and said, you know what? This is how God has it. He's still in control. Nothing happened last night that took him off the throne. Church is hot. Deal with it. That's what God had planned for this morning. How much better would that have been? I hope, my prayer is that you can find areas in my life that you could edify, that you could imitate under the glory of God. I guess what I'm saying is I hope you don't know me well enough to see those bad parts of my life. Those parts I'm not all that happy with. Somebody who's probably even more qualified, and I'll say this because she's not here, it's probably my wife. Be imitators of her, just as she imitates Christ. Can you say that this morning? Are you at a point in your Christian walk to where you can say, hey, new Christian, just do what I do. Because I do what Christ would do. If you're not there, how do we get there? Whatever then, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Father, we ask your blessing this morning that you would help us to live out our Christian life as if you were living it. Because, Father, Paul said in Galatians that your Holy Spirit indwells us, lives within us. We have been crucified with you so that it's no longer we who live, but Christ who lives in us. So, Father, I pray that you would take over the thoughts and functions of our life. Give us proper perspective in everything. May we seek out how to glorify you in every want, desire, and action that we have. Because you and you alone are worthy of the glory. Father, I live my life like I want the glory. I realize that. But truly I don't. I would much rather give it to you. May you increase. May I decrease. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. If we offer